So then I wrote a book called Increasing Heaven's Flow, and there's a diagram I just quickly want to put on the screen. It's basically our blueprint for ministry. It's a revelation the Lord gave me about the fivefold ministry. Ephesians 4, it speaks about apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And together, they lead and they cause the bride of Christ to come to the fullness of Christ. And so I was like, wow, that's good news. Isn't that what we're longing for? Dead religion is not going to change the world. We've got enough of that. We need Jesus. And I believe that and the revelation the Lord gave me was that basically there are five anointings, or there are five rivers: an apostolic anointing, a prophetic anointing, a pastoral anointing, a teaching anointing, an evangelistic anointing. And if you position yourself in that river or in that anointing, you're going to see the kingdom of God come through you. Now, this is good news, because it's not you, it's God through you. This is for the ordinary. This is for the nobodies. Any nobodies around here today? Yes, I'm one of them. But I have found that if I position myself in Christ, if I position myself in the anointing of Jesus, signs and wonders follow. You know, so I wrote this book called Increasing Heaven's Flow in 40 Days. And I call it, it's a revivalist manual. When I feel a little bit down, I read my own book. And then my faith is stirred, and then the kingdom of God begins to come again. Praise God. So I'm going to actually speak this morning about the apostolic culture, the apostolic flow, and that the mission is kingdom reign. You see a little crown there, you know? So when the kingdom of God comes, when heaven comes, sickness leaves, oppression leaves, darkness leaves, when paradise comes, when heaven comes. You know, so that's the apostolic anointing. The real gospel is a powerful gospel. We have downgraded the power of the gospel in the church. And it's time for the power to return. So we were in Brazil a few years ago, 2 years ago or so, at a church of 6,000 people. And I remember just as I got up onto the stage, I felt the Lord say to me, "Make my bride beautiful. Make my bride beautiful." So that for me and Sonica, this is our life call. We want to see the bride of Christ, the church, become beautiful and powerful. Because Jesus loves his bride, you know? So I'm like that friend of the bridegroom. I'm in love with the bridegroom too. And I want to help the bride become beautiful. And I believe this is one of the tools God wants to use. Okay, so I'm going to focus on the apostolic, but you have all the others as well. You find it in the book. So I quickly want to know anybody that... Okay, so I want to share a few stories this morning. I've got an agenda. I want to release some faith in the house this morning, some extra faith. You see, when there's faith in the house, then Jesus moves. Amen. Okay, so kingdom culture, how does kingdom culture work? It's basically, if you build it, God will come. If you build the kingdom of heaven, the culture of heaven on earth, if you build it within you and around you, then God is going to come. I mean, look at Moses. He built the tabernacle of Moses. Via the blueprint of heaven, he built according to God's design. What happened? The glory of God came down. And then Solomon built the temple of Solomon, and the kingdom of God came down. The glory of God filled the house. And I believe in the same way, you and I can, if we simply position ourselves, if we simply apply some basic principles that's in the Bible, but with faith, God's going to come. God's going to come. So I want to share some of our stories around. We went to East London end of 2008, about 10 years ago. And our son was born, Sonica, my wife. She was 8 months pregnant. And about 6 months after he was born, she fell into a sort of postnatal depression. And for about 3 years, we had all hell. She couldn't really sleep. She had terrible insomnia. She'd get in bed at 9 and be awake still at 3. And I'd find her in the bathroom on the floor just weeping. I thought she's going to go crazy, you know. And in that time, you know, I was a spirit-filled, tongue-speaking pastor, which is supposed to be awesome, isn't it? But I prayed for her hundreds of times, sometimes twice a night I would pray for her. But over those 3 years, like hundreds of times I prayed for her, and nothing changed. I had to face this fact that I believe in the power of God, but I don't know the power of God. So the first 10 years of ministry, we saw two people physically healed. One definitely, other one I think possibly were physically healed. And then in 2012, I spoke to the church and I said to the guys, I made an announcement, guys, we are going to pursue the power of God. For the sake of my wife and for the sake of the people in church, there's so many of our people living defeated lives. We're going to pursue the power of God. And I was like, I didn't care what anybody thought. It's just like, I want my wife to be healed. I want our lives back, you know. And I've never been determined as I was at that time. 10 years in the ministry, two people physically healed. And then, you know, we started to step out. So the one night, middle 2012, you know, my wife, when she was primary school, she started to suffer psoriasis. It's an outbreak of a skin disease. It was so bad at some point that she was in Tigerberg Hospital for 2 weeks because it was just spread all over her body. So now she's battling the sleep insomnia thing, and now we're starting to proclaim, we are going to pursue the power of God. And then her skin disease got worse. It got horribly worse. It just started to spread all over her body. The blood would run down her arms in the morning when she'd get up, you know, and she would just be crying. And then I spoke to her and I said to her, this is for the glory of God. You know, this is for the glory of God. I hope. 10 years, we saw two people physically healed. I believe God is powerful. We've seen squat. So we step out. We had the school of the supernatural. We're going to step out. We've heard Pastor C.S. in Stellenbosch has been stepping out. We've been hearing there are miracles in places in the world. And now we're going to step out. So we have a school of the supernatural the one evening. And we pray like crazy, loud and before the time. And now we're going to step out. And now we're trusting the Lord for words of knowledge. We all got it wrong. We were absolutely useless. There was now a level zero squat. Only one lady got something right. The rest of us useless. I'm sharing this because I want to compare now what the Lord has done after that. To show you that I'm nobody, I'm nothing, I'm small, it's not me, it's Jesus. So anyway, so the Lord actually then healed Sonica in 2012. And within 3 weeks, he healed her skin as well. 95% healed. And then we saw another about four people healed in 2012. I'm like, yes, thank you, Jesus. And then at the end of 2012, we were in a leaders' meeting, and then I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say to me, there's an outpouring of healing coming. Trust me for this. I'm like, that sounds so nice. So we started to go on mission trips. And the first one was India, and I was so terrified because I've heard there's like 300 million gods in India. Like, there's a lot of devils in India. So I was terrified. I didn't know if the gospel's actually going to work in India. So we had this one meeting in India. Now, we really tried. We've seen four miracles in 2012. And so now, I mean, it's India. There's a lot of people in India. So now we have this little meeting, little room. They say 50 plus people, maybe 70, and everybody's crowding out, queuing out onto the street. And preach my heart out. Jesus heals. And now the people are like, okay, show us the money or the healing. So now they line up. Our team lines up and they line up. I mean, the team is also useless. I mean, we know nothing. I just had this word that Jesus is going to heal. So I told all the pastors, we're coming to pray for the sick. We know what we're doing. No, we don't. So now they're queuing, they're lining up. And the first guy is a guy in a wheelchair. I'm like, no, Lord, give me something easy, headache. So now I pray for the guy in the wheelchair, nothing. Creak, creak. Where are you, Lord? So I move on. Second one. It's a boy, 8 years old. He was born mute. You know, and he stood in front of me, and I saw my own son, who was probably about six at that stage, or five. And I look into this little boy's eyes, and I saw there's no one home. It was just darkness. And no emotion. And he was... Yeah, anyway, the compassion of Jesus just rocked me. I was like, oh, Jesus, if you are here, you'll do this. You know, so I prayed for this little boy. He's never spoke. His mom said he's never spoken in his life. He's what, 8, 9? And I prayed for him. I could see his eyes change. And then he spoke. I said to him, say hallelujah. And then he started to say hallelujah. And he started to smile. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand. It's been beautiful. But then Jesus just broke out in that meeting. I think we had about 50 people healed or something. It was just the fire of God. Like literally people say, I feel fire in my body. So deaf ears opened, you know, backs were healed, bodies were healed. I was like, thank you, Jesus. I am not crazy. You know, you heal. I heard. You know, and that evening I was back at a place we were staying, and I was just so blown away with the faithfulness of God. And so I was praying. I asked the Lord, Lord, so what do you have in store for us? What gifts of the Spirit do you have in store for us? And I heard the voice of the Spirit say to me, all of it. All of it. You see, if you have the Holy Spirit, you have all of it. Jesus said, I've blessed you with every spiritual gift in the heavenly places. It's all yours. And I evaluated recently. I was reading through 1 Corinthians 11. I'm going through all the gifts. And I realized over the last, since 2013, we have moved in all of the gifts of the Spirit. Because it's God. It's not us. You must just position yourself. You must just build out the kingdom culture on the inside of you, where you know that it is Him and it's not you. And then He just moves. And so we had a cool thing. This happened twice last year. And to explain about the gifts of the Spirit. So it was in November, beginning November last year. So we had a church service. And at that time, I was just praying a lot in the mornings, a lot, especially in the Spirit or in tongues. I was just praying a lot. And in the middle of worship, I hear the Holy Spirit say to me, go and sing in tongues. And I'm like, oh, no, man. Gonna freak out a few visitors now. Yes. What about something simpler, Lord? But anyway, so I did it. But it was different this time. I was like, what's going on? This sounds different. I couldn't find my note first. I told the band continue. And then I hit my note. And I was singing in tongues. But it was different. Like tongues, you know, like normally it's just like a heavenly language. I didn't know, but there was a couple from the United States in the service. First time. They are missionaries from the United States. The man did a degree at a Southern Baptist theological seminary. Now, for those who don't know Baptists and the Holy Spirit, they're a little bit sensitive or tentative or a little bit afraid sometimes of the gifts of the Spirit. Some believe it's not for today anymore. So anyway, so they come to this charismatic church terrified, this couple. And now the Holy Spirit tells me, go and sing in tongues. Go figure. Now listen to this. They originally come from South America. They speak Spanish. And the guy told me 2 weeks later, I sang in Spanish as a sign to them. And I sang in Spanish about the love of God for people. And then the interpretation came, and the people came and said, now when Andre was singing, I heard the words, these following words, it speaks about the love of God for people. I sang it in Spanish. I was like, yes. God is amazing. But that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was poured out, and the gifts of the Spirit were released, and the people spoke in all known languages of the people that were there. Our God is amazing. The gifts of the Spirit's available for everybody. I want to stir this in you. You see, there's a scripture in Acts chapter 6, verse 8, where Stephen says about Stephen, is in Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. So if you want to do kingdom culture, if you want to manifest signs and wonders, I'll explain about that in a moment, why. But if you want to, you need two things. You need faith and you need to be full of power. What? Full of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. Full of God. That's why we worship. Like, this worship was just phenomenal. Guys, you have an amazing church and you have amazing leaders. They are amazing people. We're just spending, it's just wonderful to spend time with you guys. I feel God's going to do incredible things in this house. He already is, but he's going to just do so much more. Amen. I want to stir your faith. God is waiting for a people who would carry his presence and create an environment where the kingdom of God will come. And you know, everybody will want to come because they will hear Jesus is there. Jesus is amongst the people of this house. But Stephen, he was full of faith and power and he did great wonders and signs among the people. That is God's heart. You know, so you can ask this question, why physical healing? You know, is it like a peripheral issue? Is it just, you know, what is it about? You see, God loves people. And when your body is sick, who's been sick? Wie was al sick, hè? Allemaal van ons is al sick. Slecht sick en baie, baie slecht sick. You know, when your body is ridden with disease, your body becomes a house of torture, of torment. And Jesus came to set people free. He loves people, so he came to set people free. You know, so in 2013, we had about 100 people physically healed. 2014, 191. I started to count because I wasn't sure if it really happened. My faith was so small. I was like, did it really happen? Did it really happen? Did it really happen? So I started to count and document everything and follow up with him. Are you still healed? 2015, we had 300-400 people healed, following another 400, about 1,200 plus people in just over 3 years. And then I stopped counting. It is now official. Jesus heals. Amen. So I want to just share a little bit about the theology around healing because many people are confused about this. I want to stir your faith and then we're going to pray for sick people and then Jesus is going to heal some people. Amen. So John chapter 11, verse 3 to 4, it says, therefore the sister sent to him, this is Jesus saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard this, Lazarus, and then when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Jesus said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And then he spoke to Lazarus, and Lazarus came forth from the tomb. Every miracle is a manifestation of the glory of God. And it brings glory to God. So my question to you is, do you want to bring glory to Jesus? Every miracle is a manifestation of glory that brings glory to Jesus. It's the original plan. It's the original plan. And you know there's faith in the house when people get excited about sick people. Like, yes, there's sick people here. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. So wonderful. I'm so disappointed if there's not a lot of sick people so they can be healed. We need to get excited. John 11, 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. So I don't even know, but I know you as Stefan's dad. Stefan's one of our guys from East London, and this is his dad. Just wave. Wave. Okay. So as I remember the story correctly, you had multiple heart attacks about 10 years or plus ago. So running in the family, multiple heart attacks, didn't think he's going to live very long. So they were at a church in East London, and I think the altar call was around something around fear and anxiety, something. I think, and we prayed for you guys that you were worried about, are you still going to live for very long, you know? And he had an enlarged heart, like 60% too big, something like that, 60% too big the heart. On a lot of medication, had to take afternoon naps, couldn't breathe well, you know, the heart wasn't functioning correctly. And I mean, we didn't even do a healing service that evening. It was just, we're just praying with him. And the next moment, you felt like a heat running through your body. And suddenly he started to breathe better. And then I felt the Lord say to me that he's adding 20 years. I felt the Lord say to me, he's adding 20 years to his life. He's 58 now. Huh? And I felt the Lord saying, adding 20 years. So anyway, so over the next few weeks, they were checking and he didn't have to do his afternoon naps anymore. His breathing was normal. He could start to do like function normally. Yeah? And then they had a bit of a scare. So a while later, he felt like he was maybe having a heart attack and called the paramedics, I understand, or something. And so did all the tests. And I found out, no, his heart is 100% fine. He was just having indigestion or something. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand. Jesus heals. Jesus heals. This is what he does. Because he is alive and the tomb is empty. And he still wants to be glorified. This is the original plan. Jesus went around healing the sick, casting out evil to set people free. Why? Because he is the savior of the soul and the spirit and the body. That's what he does. So we had a young man, a doctor in our church now a week or two ago. His name is Johan. And he was in a huge bus accident 3 months ago. He broke his back. He came in a wheelchair to church and he could stand, but he couldn't stand for very long and he had a lot of pain in his back. He said he went to the doctors about 3 days before he came to the service and it looked like he would need more operations. And so we prayed with him and he experienced the power of God running through his body and he was healed. Can you believe it? He pushed his wheelchair out of the church. He walked up and down the stairs without crutches. He could go down on his haunches. He suddenly had back his feeling of cold and heat in his feet. And he had no more pain in his back. We could touch his back and he had pain there, no more pain. Went to the doctors and they said, no op needed, just a little bit of physio. Hallelujah. Come on, give Jesus a hand. He heals. When Jesus touches someone, the lame walks, the deaf hears, the blind sees, and Jesus gets glorified. That's how it works. That's how it works. Mark chapter 16, verses 17 to 18 says, and these signs will follow those who believe. Say, believe. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These signs will follow those who believe. In other words, if you are laying hands on the sick and they're not being healed, you're just not believing enough yet. But that can quickly change. That can quickly be shifted. So from the Gospels and from the Bible, we see that physical healing is not a peripheral component of the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus came and he proclaimed, guys, good news. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what did Jesus do? He stretched forth his hand and people were healed. He demonstrated the kingdom. That is the good news. It's not an empty promise. It is not rain clouds without bringing rain. It is the real deal. Guys, good news, it's going to rain and then it rains. That's how God operates. So I want to just quickly show you just three things, three questions I want to answer concerning healing. The first question is, what did Jesus do? What did he do? He preached the gospel of the kingdom and then he demonstrated the gospel of the kingdom. That's what he did. Everybody's always saying, well, do like Jesus did. Or what, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Be a nice person. No, Jesus wasn't a nice person only. He healed the sick and he set people free. That's what Jesus did. And he's saying, guys, come on, do what I did. That's what he's calling us to. Mark 1 verse 14 and 15. It says, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Change your way of thinking and believe. I often joke at East London. I tell them, you know, often we believe that only miracles happen in far off little places in the world. And then I tell them, East London is a far off nowhere place in the world. And today Wellington can also be. Amen. Amen. So this is what God, Jesus wants to do. You see, quickly stretch forth your hand. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Meaning near. It's at hand. How far is the kingdom? It's at hand. It's close. It is so close. You can touch it. The kingdom of heaven is at hand to those who believe. It's out of reach to those who don't. The question is faith, belief. We need to believe. The kingdom is at hand. Matthew 8, verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed some. He healed some really special people. He healed those without sin. He doesn't even say they healed those who had faith. He just said he healed all. Come on, say all. The question is often, is it the will of God for someone to be healed? How do we normally pray for the sick? Father, if it is your will today, would you please heal this person? Amen. Then we walk away and we don't dare ask if anything's changed. Isn't it so? We don't see that prayer in the Bible. That is not a biblical prayer. Jesus never said, Father, if it is your will. He just said, be healed. And so in the same way God asks us or commands us to simply speak. So what is the will of God? I want to ask you this question. What if, I want to propose this to you. What if it is always the will of God to heal? What if it is always the will of God to heal? So we were in Brazil at this large church, and in that week that we were there, about 400 people were physically healed. The one evening we had three service, back-to-back service. We had like services for 9 hours, and at the end of every service, people were queuing. I personally prayed for 40 people that were physically healed, testable. 40, 40. Everybody was getting healed. Everybody was getting healed. I pray for a lady. I ask her, what's wrong? She said, there's a cyst on her breast. And I'll ask her, well, test it. And then she says, yep, it's there. And then we pray. 30 seconds later, test it. It's gone. And then she would be bawling. Next, high five with a translator. Next, back healed, ear pop open, eyes that couldn't see can now see. It was just like God was just doing miracles. It's not me. It's him. But what if it's always the will of God to heal? So I want to share a story with you. There's a guy that was at our church. His name was Bram. Bram. And he fell off a ladder when he was at school. And he significantly injured his back. So he had so much pain in his back that he couldn't function. So at that time, he was in bed for, I think, about 7 to 8 months. 7 to 8 months in bed, the only position that he could sort of not have too much pain. And he had his laptop. He was a computer science student, and he would study and so forth, do his projects. And so he went for operations. He went to chiropractors. He did everything that you could medically in the medical field. So I went to him, and I prayed for Bram. And he's a very intellectual guy. So as I was praying for him, I was like, man, there's something wrong here. This dude has no faith. You see, that's the problem with pain, eh? Reminds you, you've got pain and God hasn't healed you. So I was like challenged, said, man, I'm going to come back. We're going to come back. A week from now, we are coming back. So I told him, read this book, Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. Read it to stir your faith around the theology of healing. Stir your faith and listen to some testimonies. And I'm going to come back. We're going to pray again. In the next week, he sends me a WhatsApp and he says, don't come. I don't have faith for this. So over the next 2 months, he starts reading the book. He strengthens his belief system according to scripture. And then he told me the story. So the one evening, he's watching testimonies of people being healed on YouTube. And he's read the book. He's watching testimonies. And he says the next moment, something clicks on the inside, on his heart. And he says, he closes his eyes and he prays. It's like he just said, God, thank you that it is your will to heal me. Amen. And then he got up and he was healed. The next day he pushed start a car. And a year plus later, he's still completely healed. Isn't that so powerful? For me, that was a sign revealing, just know it is the will of God to heal you. Jesus healed everybody. The only place it didn't work was in Nazareth when they were disillusioned with him and there was no faith in the house. And so he could not do mighty miracles. Everywhere else it just says, and all were healed and all were healed. There's not one example of someone coming to Jesus and saying, Lord Jesus, please heal me. And he didn't heal them. He healed everybody that asked him to. Come on, let's say it. It is God's will to heal me. You see, the power of God can be claimed only where the will of God is known. Appropriating faith is not believing that God can, but that God will. That's faith. I've been in meetings that I just know that I know God is gonna heal now. The gift of faith. And this is not for the special. This is not for the elite. There are no supermen in the kingdom of God. There's only Jesus who is the Superman. Amen. Come on, let's say this is for me. Now someone might ask, but how can you say it's always the will of God for someone to be healed? Surely we're going to die one day. Now that is a good question. Can I answer that to you? For you. Exodus 23 verse 25. Brilliant answer. So it says here, so you shall serve the Lord your God. This is the Exodus with Moses, God speaking, and says, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. It says, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. I mean, that's old covenant, that's Old Testament, that's before the blood of Jesus. And then it says, no one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. And then it says, and I will fulfill the number of your days. In other words, only God really knows when your days are fulfilled. But he says, I'm going to fulfill the number of your days. If I have destined you to fulfill your assignment on earth by the age of 35, then it's time to go home. But if it's 76, then it is 76. And then you and I can stand and say, Lord, I have not fulfilled my purpose yet. I receive grace. I receive your healing virtue. I know it's your will for me to be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Come and say it. It is the will of God for me to be healed until I fulfilled my mission. Amen. Kenneth Hagin, he was the founder of the faith movement. He was a teenager years ago. God supernaturally healed him and restored him. He should have been dead. And he moved in a healing anointing. But it was such grace on his life. He said for about 60 years, he never got sick. 60 years. Even when a headache comes, he said he'd just clap himself and say, go away in Jesus' name. And then he was healed. I mean, that's just amazing. Such amazing grace. So what did Jesus do? He preached the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, then he demonstrated the kingdom. Secondly, what did Jesus train his disciples to do? Matthew 10 verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. He trained his disciples to preach the kingdom and to heal the sick. Luke 10 verse 9. And this is a command from Jesus. I'm sure we want to obey Christ. He says, and heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Hallelujah. And then you might say, but only with Jesus, everybody got healed. But then in Acts chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, we see incredible grace upon the church in Acts. And it says there, Peter's shadow healed the sick. And then right at the end, verse 16, it says, multitudes gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Go down, go down, go down. Two down, one down, and they were all healed. Come on, say all. And they were all healed. I've been in meetings where it feels like everybody's just getting healed. Then third question, what did he command his disciples to do? Ending off with this, and then I'll share a story or so. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. What is authority? Authority is the right to use power. That's authority. Jesus says, I have the right to use all of the power of heaven. And now I'm delegating it to you. So when you and I abide in Christ, we receive that same authority to release life to others. The right to use power. It says, all authority, go therefore make disciples. And then he says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. What did Jesus command his disciples? Preach the gospel of the kingdom. Heal the sick, cast out evil. That is the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. Teach them what I taught you. I taught you, I trained you on the job in how to release the kingdom of God into other people's lives. It's amazing. And then Acts chapter 3, verse 6, last verse. It says, this is Peter and John going to the temple. Then Peter said, silver and gold, there's a lame man. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Do you see that the prayer he said there? Oh, Heavenly Father, if it is your will today, please, please, please heal this man. No. He looked at the guy and he said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have. Come on, what I do have. Say it, what I do have. What I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. You see, he delegates authority to you and me. There's a whole lot of stuff that we should not be asking Jesus for. We must simply be commanding it in Jesus' name. There's a partnership between you and God. And as you release it, the kingdom of God comes. So there was a lady in Brazil. We prayed with her. She had stage 4 cancer. I think the worship team can come up so long. Worship team, come and join us. Come on, let's say it, I believe. Let's say it, Jesus is in the house today to heal and set free. Amen. So we're in Brazil and this lady has stage 4 cancer. She has cancer she's got lymphoma cancer and it has spread, I think, into her bone marrow. And she's going through chemotherapy. Her name is Josie Costa. And so we pray with her. And how we normally pray, I don't know how much training you've done here in terms of how to pray for the sick. But first step is you ask the person, hey, what's your name? Where are you from? What's wrong? But don't give me too much detail because it's going to probably freak me out. I just want a sort of general area, what's wrong? Don't give me the details, it's going to kill my faith. Okay, just give me a sort of a general direction. The head. Okay, we're going to pray for the head. Then, you know, you ask sort of what's happened or anything traumatic happened in that time. Sometimes sickness, the source of sickness is something traumatic. Car accidents sometimes, like fear, anxiety, often depression comes from original traumatic moments. Sometimes unforgiveness. Sometimes we pray for people and I've prayed for people and I'm like, say the one lady, for instance, she's got issues in her arm and I'm praying for her and she's getting better and better and better, but then she's not getting better further. And the Holy Spirit says to me, she's offended with her husband. Then I ask her, are you offended with your husband? Yes. It's probably a 99% out of women would probably say that. So it's probably a good word of knowledge to go for. But yes, I am so angry with him. But anyway, so when we pray with people and they actually forgive, and then the healing flows. Unforgiveness is sometimes a block for healing. Sometimes it's the source of the sickness. Okay? Not always, just sometimes. So one needs to be led by the Spirit. So anyway, so you interview the person, you get a feel of what's happened, where did this come from. And so with Josie Costa, then we prayed for her, and then we said, because Holy Spirit, just come. Because Jesus, we know it's you, it's your presence that heals. You know, what happens with me is when I can feel there's a healing anointing in the room, I feel like I'm standing in a river up to my knees. I'm feeling all just above my calves currently, actually. There's a healing anointing in this place now. And you see, in the spirit realm, there's a river flowing, a river of life. Wherever the river flows, the kingdom comes. You must just position yourself. So we would pray for someone. We say, okay, Holy Spirit, just touch them. And then we wait until we sense His presence. And then we say, there's His presence. There's His presence. And then we wait until we have clarity. And then we say, okay, we just praise with thanksgiving. God, thank you, you're good. Thank you that you, by your stripes, we are healed. Jesus, you overcame every evil. You overcame every darkness. Jesus, you are amazing. You are paradise. And at some point we say, in Jesus' name, cancer, go. Curse this cancer. Let it disappear right now. And then we will ask the person, okay, now test your body. Because we have faith. We actually believe that Jesus is going to touch you right now. And so with Josie's, then she went to all her lymph glands and suddenly she was like, the swelling is gone. The swelling is gone. Something has changed. I mean, she was dying. And about 6 weeks later, I went onto Facebook and someone tagged me. Now the Brazilians, if you need to know something about the Brazilians, they love Facebook. They love Facebook. So she tagged me. She went to the doctors and she was given a complete clean completely clean. And the doctor said to her, what you had was very, very bad, but you're healed now. And so there were like 190 comments on this thread, and everybody was sharing and liking and going crazy. Jesus is paradise. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're battling with, whether in your soul, in your spirit, or in your body, or in your marriage, whether it's depression or fear, anxiety, torment, whatever it is, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Come on, let's say it. Jesus is the answer. He's my answer. He's my paradise. I want to stir your heart. Seek Him. Seek His presence. Seek His presence. It feels like coming home when you're in His presence. I am addicted to His presence. Because it's like going to heaven. And when His presence comes, anything's possible. I feel anything is possible right now. Hallelujah.